concerning God's love for his chosen and called out people who were Israel, who were now rejecting him. Therefore, he has turned to the Gentiles. But in Paul's communication to the Gentiles, he's saying, whoa, 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 hold on. That which he started, he's going to finish. Israel's not serving him now. Israel is opposing him now. This is why he has turned to you. One writer said he used the Gentiles to provoke the Jews to jealousy. But he goes on to say they will turn back. And he emphasizes it with this scripture by saying, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Now go to the Amplified. I like this word better. For God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. Now, too often times we have referenced this particular scripture when some minister of the gospel has fallen off the boat doctrinally or in some area, and with our heads hung and almost in shame, we say, yes, but God's calling and gifts and callings of God's are without repentance. In other words, he'll continue to operate with unction and anointing upon his life, even though he's moving in a wrong direction. This is where we see this scripture highlighted so oftentimes in dialoguing and conversation with people. But that's not the basis of his writing of it. The basis of the writer is, hold on. There's hope. There will be a return. There'll be a return. There is a call that has come upon a people that God's not saying, no matter the direction that they've gone, no matter what they're doing right now, my call is upon them. My call is upon him. The natural eye looks at them and says, oh no, it's all gone to waste now. But God's eye is upon them saying, my call, the gifts that I have given unto them, they are upon them and there will be a return. Haggai, chapter 2, verse 1. In the seventh month, in the 1 and 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, to the residue of the people, saying, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. For I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver's mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. The Old Testament temple was a building. The New Testament temple is a body. Is a body. Is a body of believers. This Old Testament reference didn't mean, because when it was talking in the Old Testament about the framework of piled up stones upon an old foundation and some kind of a structure that they would come to meet upon. But the glory of a latter house, I'm telling you right now, God is going to raise up a latter house that has nothing to do with brick and mortar. But there will be a glory upon a people in a latter house that will far exceed anything that we've ever read about. Amen. It's his promise. He's not taking it back. It's irrevocable. Second Peter chapter 1 at verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. I like this next four words. Notice it does not say according to their divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of them. Oh, him that had called us to glory and virtue. No matter what King James did to this old English, I'm telling you, there's one Lord. There's one faith. There's one baptism. There's one that you look to. There's one name that you call upon. There's one Redeemer. There's only one Savior. There's no God beside him. According unto his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Have you received exceeding great? Now, that's kind of funny English, isn't it? Until you stop and think for a minute, whatever it is that would be called great, this exceeds that. This is beyond that. Whatever you want to call precious, this pushes the envelope. The promises that he has given unto us. But too often times we begin to look at circumstances, and we measure things with our feelings. I'm just not feeling altogether that glorious right now. I'm just not feeling Lord, I can't even see that I'm somehow the beneficiary of any great endowment from God in any way. They're irrevocable. The promises of God. So it's been a few years when that passing by evangelist knelt by you in an altar of prayer and laid his hand upon you, and you were listening. You stopped praying and you started listening. What's he saying? What's he saying? And as he was praying, he was speaking and speaking out promises. And you're thinking, he must have the wrong person. That's somebody down the row from me. No, 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 no. The things that were spoken of God to you and over you, I promise you, those that are of the Spirit, they are irrevocable. They will succeed. They will be performed. Amen. Too easy it is that we turn loose of and let go of, and time passes by, Sarah. And we start looking for ways to somehow accomplish the promises of God, or we look like a failure. Or we judge the mouth of that prophet. I feel a hope from the Lord today. I feel a fresh hope of the promises, of the sustaining promises of God, that the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former. And the gifts and the calling of God upon individuals is without repentance. Genesis chapter 17. At verse 17. I was called on to go and pray for some young men at a congregation over here in Auburn a month or so ago. Brother Chamberlain and I went over. Marshall Island people, or is that what it was? Congregation of believers, Marshall Island people primarily. And I think the Lord spoke to me in that little gathering. Then he spoke to them when I realized the significance of this word. Genesis 17 and 17, when Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? Roll with me here, Brother Kendrick. And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed. Thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting, well, as long as he does everything right. An everlasting, as long as there's no failures along the way. As long as he stays upon the bright path of salvation. If he just never gives up. Our direction should be made from the promises. Our continued direction should be set by the promises given. Not the circumstances or failures or problems along the way. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant with his seed after him. You mean Some of the very things that my Grandma Reisman received on her prayer knees, I am a recipient of today unto the next generation and the next generation. You mean our children that are here and are to come could be the recipient of promises given and yet more important, received from God? God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed. Oh, next verse. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. Oh, you know what? We're supposed to be reading at verse 1. I copied and pasted Genesis 17, and it copied the number 17. I'm sorry. Verse 1. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, For as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. Thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name anymore be called Abraham. You know the story. Verse 6, I will make thee exceeding fruitful. I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. I will establish my covenant between thee and with and thy seed after thee, and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and thy seed after thee. Let's go to chapter 27. We'll try this again. Verse 1. It came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim. Do you ever try to picture in your mind what this real scenario was like? Crotchety old dude. Or you can paint it as you want. He's in his right mind. He's focused. He's clear. I think he was just an old guy. I think he had to be taken care of. I think he had come to the place in his life that it was no longer. They probably already took his license away. But we never look that close into these scenarios. This dude is old. He can't hardly see anymore. I noticed about 52 years old, my eyes started getting dimmer. Had to get 3 lenses instead of 1. Anybody else in the room? We faked them all out. We got that. What's that called? Sister Lindsay, what's it called? Transition lenses. Yes. There's actually 3 there, but you only see 1. We have fooled you. I don't know if the guy even really took care of himself well. You know, like baths and all that stuff. I don't know. I've been around some situations. You know, they didn't have dentures then. Mm-mm. Isaac? Is that you? You know, and they just, of course, I remember when I was studying for something. I don't know what it was. And I remember them saying, look, you know, I don't know, you ever notice this? A young person takes an elder up to a counter and they begin to dialogue across the counter. And the person across the counter is asking questions to the elder person and the young person's answering. And the dialogue continues and goes on, and it's like, stop! That's a person standing there. But somewhere along the line, it's like, well, you know, grandma, you know. And so they become a non-person. To some. I don't know what this old guy was like. But his time had passed. You know, that's what we'd say. Well, their season's passed, and they're out to pasture, and just waiting for their glorious, leap in the air. Come quickly, Lord. Nothing moving anymore. Well, this guy's old. His eyes grew dim, and he called his older son Esau and said unto him, Sonny. He said, Here I am, Pop. Behold now, I am old. I don't know the day of my death. Now then, please take your gear. Take your bow and go out to the field and take me some venison. Verse 4. Let's roll through this. And make me savory meat such as I love. And I'm thinking, okay, he's got a few teeth still. And bring it to me that I may eat. That my soul may bless thee before I die. He's got some kind of indications that time has run out. And he's about to go. And he's got one thing left to do. And somewhere between his thoughts and his soul, that eternal part of a man that goes back to God, is going to somehow pass on a blessing to this next generation. Man, you'd have thought he grew up in the same house and, you know, he's blessing them all the time and praying for them and, you know, raising his boys and, you know, he was there and they were together and this was an ongoing thing. But no. This is something that he has an understanding of, that he is the only one that can do this. And at the expression of his word, he's going to pass on something that's eternal. That will follow the life of his son from here forward. And his son's sons. And then their son's sons. Because the covenant was an everlasting covenant. From generation to generation. And whatever that promise was. Whatever that gifting was. That was upon the life of Isaac. It had not yet passed. Man, we take a lot of things for granted. Ah, who wants that inheritance anyway? I'm tired of living for my dad. I'm going to do things my way. Whoop, careful. He may be old. His eyes may be dim. But there's something resident that God put into his spirit that he intended to pass on to that next generation at the speaking of his words and willing it to go. Let's read. Well, we're going to pass this part because we don't want to get on a side issue here about Rebekah and Jacob. Let's jump to verse 27. So he came near, this is Jacob, This is not Esau. Esau, being the oldest, was the one that he had called in. He told him to go out and to get meat. Said it was time, and I'm going to bless you just before I die. Boy, we use that word, don't we? Oh, bless you. Bless your little heart. Oh, bless your soul. We can use that so quickly. I tried to really search and look deep to find, is this a different word that he's using? What is it that he's going to do right now that's so significant that he's going to do it just before he dies? Jacob came near and kissed him because he had just asked him to. And he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore," now get the picture. Old goddamn eyes, can't see. Felt the hair on his neck. Feels like Esau, talks like Jacob. Come here, give me a kiss. Can you see the old boy? Still got a sniffer. Smells like the field. Sounds like Jacob. Must be Esau. And he starts speaking. "Therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord." Oh, he's not talking like this. This guy's the old guy. "Let others serve thee." You still there, boy? Yeah. And he's pronouncing all these things over his son willfully and with his spirit. There is something that is releasing from him. And no matter how rickety it may sound, maybe even just, this just sounds like Grandpa wanting to do what he wants to do. But he is speaking and releasing promises from God, in the will of God. And there's something transpiring onto this son. You ever had somebody come and lay hands on your head and begin to pray for you, and you begin to feel the hair stand up on your head, and you knew at that moment, spiritually, there is something transpiring here. There is an anointing that is coming over me. It's like hot oil flying down or running down over my head. Has anybody ever felt that? And you think that's any less significant? Then this old man laying hands upon his son and beginning to speak and pronounce blessing unto him, releasing. I have felt virtue flow. You have felt virtue. You've received virtue when elders are called to lay hands upon you and pray for the sick. You've received that virtue. "Let thy mother's sons," that'd be your brothers, "bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee." And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, And Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat and brought it unto his father and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat his son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And Isaac, his father, said unto him, who art thou? He said, I'm thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that had taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten all before thou camest and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, my father. I don't want to focus on Esau's problem. Here's what I want to focus on. When that man, Isaac, released that blessing that came as a covenant from God, he could not take it back. It was irrevocable. What he hath begun in you, he is able to perform it. The glory of the latter house shall be greater than the glory of the former house. Those things that have been spoken in your life, don't let circumstances rob you of them. Don't let your feelings tell you it must have been a mistake. Those things that you have received, I'm calling for musicians. Those things that you know have been spoken to you. Those things that you know God has released into your life. No matter the accuser of the brethren, no matter the voice of the enemy, no matter the voice of men, it's yours to hold on to. It's yours to keep. You know, poor old Hagar. Wasn't her idea. She's got a son, Ishmael. She didn't ask for it. She didn't ask for that situation, but here she was. An Egyptian bondwoman being sent away because now the promised child had come. And she's out there, bottle of water, a little bit of food, and just trying to survive. And pretty soon the food's gone, the water's gone, everything's gone. And circumstance says, this is over. Must have been my lot in life. Others different, but I don't know. You're sitting here today right now, and this is the picture that you have painted of yourself. Oh, this is nice, and I'm enjoying the things that I'm hearing, but you're not talking to me because too much time's passed. And the evidence of anything existing beyond this point are gone. And all she can hear is the cry of her child. Lo, she had forgotten. There were words spoken unto the father of that child. Abraham had received promises from God. It's going to be all right. Go ahead and do what your wife's asking of you. Let her go. Send her away. I'm going to take care of her. Or, whoa. Mistake. I'm going to take care of him. He was the recipient of promises that 12 princes would come out of his loins. She was mom. With no rights, with no promises. And she took that child who represented the promises that had come from God. He wasn't the promised child. That's the way we feel sometimes. You know, we're not the blue bloods. We're not royalty. We were just barely salvaged out of the pile, you know, like the old violin. Sometimes we feel that way. She cast that child far enough away under a bush that she wouldn't hear the cry of the child. An angel of the Lord appeared unto her and said, God has heard the cry of the child. Maybe there's some things that were spoken in your past that you've laid aside, because after all, so many years have passed and you don't see the evidence of any of those things coming about in any way. And so we become satisfied to lose out, to miss out, forgetting that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance, irrevocable. Feeling the anointing in here. God's reach is so deep. Arise and go pick up the child. And so when she went and she lifted the child, the Bible says her eyes were opened. What? There's water right there in front of me. It was probably there all the time, but I couldn't see. I'd laid down that promise. Somehow it's had a blinding effect upon me. I would urge somebody today. It's just laying under a bush. His will for you has not changed. His purpose for you has not changed. And that call is irrevocable upon your life. Time, an extended time, means nothing to him. What he has begun, he will perform it. He will finish it. He is the author and the finisher. The pen is still in his hand.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Would you talk to the Lord right now? All over the building. Restoring the call. If you feel him restoring the promises, I'm going to open the front right now. I'm going to ask you to come.